feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Drake on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Drake.
Yeah, Drapes is back today, and I know we got a lot of basketball to talk about today, but Drapes, how excited are you about the NFC Championship game? Are you ready?
Is that this weekend?
Yeah.
My Herman Moore jersey still has not come in the mail. I don't know if it's held up or something. Holiday. I don't know what it is. No, I'm looking forward to it. I actually think it's going to be a really good game.
I think it really could be too.
Really good game. I think the Niners, obviously, a complete team. But Detroit, I mentioned it earlier, they play a style, a brand, their head coach. They're a tough team. And I know they haven't been playing their best or anything like that, but I think they match up well with the Niners. I think this should be a good one.
Yeah. Simone, I think we may need to get a Lions jersey and put it on Henrietta, your skeleton. We may have to go that far.
I still have not forgiven Simone for that. Like, my Eagles would be well on their way to the Super Bowl if it wasn't for Simone and her skeleton.
And Henrietta.
Exactly. But no, I think both AFC and NFC are going to be great games. And, you know, obviously AFC, the two quarterbacks, NFC, I think it's categorized by the coaching staff, Kyle Shanahan versus Dan Campbell, sort of different in styles way. And so I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, and the word on Debo is he's still sore. I guess he didn't practice today, but
Nervous about that? You concerned?
I am, because I just thought by now it'd be, he's fine, we're good to go. But instead it's, we're being patient. It's still very sore with his right shoulder. So I'm a little concerned, but I'd be shocked if he doesn't play.
I agree with you. Debo, we know, is tough. This isn't the regular season. This is their season. You got to win this game. And then you got the break. Then you got a chance to rest a couple of weeks. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think Debo will be out there.
And I will say this. I'm a little concerned about your team, because your team now is apparently targeting the guy that he's my favorite defensive coordinator of all time, Vic Fangio. He's available now, and it looks like reports are the Eagles are going after him. He's a great freaking coordinator. I know he's been around a while. Maybe there are some questions whether everything he does still plays, but I think it does, and I think he would be a great hire for your team, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen.
Yeah. You're worried about that, huh?
Yeah, I am. You know, I'll be honest, I am.
Yeah, Vic Fangio, 65 years old, like you said, a veteran defensive coordinator.
Yes.
The Dolphins' defense, actually, second half of the season, was much better than it was earlier in the year, and I think when you look at Nick Sirianni, as much as I like him as a coach, I think you do need a veteran defensive coordinator in there. And so I think it would be a good fit. They got some big fish to fry, obviously, out there in Philadelphia, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. But I think you need a grown-up, somebody that's been there, that's won at a high level, that's coached great defenses. And so I would be on board with Vic.
Yeah, it's an exciting week. It's kind of a nervous week. We know with the Kings, things have kind of been hanging in the balance. They're about ready to go out on the road, and we got a lot of anxiety over the 49ers. And I think that's reflected also in the chat here. It's somebody that is encouraging you to take off the kid gloves when it comes to a certain member of the Kings. And then we've also got Ian Fisher. He's got a beef with Drapes. He didn't say hi to me in Detroit. So it's getting feisty already.
People are coming at me. First of all, let me respond to Ian Fisher. Dog, all you got to do is say, Drapes, hi. Yeah, I don't think Ian Fisher said hi to me. I'm like the most approachable celebrity there is out there. Now, you may have had to wait in line for a little bit, you know, because I was kissing babies and signing autographs and taking pictures. Uh-huh. But Ian, I would have said hi to you. You know, I'm approachable, big dog.
Can I ask you about Crown Royal's comments here? Drapes, better take the kitty gloves off versus Fox.
What is it with De'Aaron Fox that people want to know? What are we getting into with De'Aaron Fox? I know he spoke today, and there's a lot of chatter, a lot of innuendo going on, but De'Aaron Fox is my guy. Crown Royal, first of all, I just want to admit, in the YouTube chat, he's a known stir-upper of things.
Instigator,
right. We're using the PG language, but he's known to try and get under people's skin. I have no issue with De'Aaron Fox. None at all. So I don't know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of uncertainty here and a lot of innuendo.
Yeah.
It's too bad. Whatever it is, my opinion, not necessarily yours, whatever it is, to me, it could have easily been handled a while ago, and we wouldn't have people wondering. I don't think there's anything really to it, but it's too bad that we're sitting here wondering, well, what's going on? I think he's not playing well, and I think there's whatever he was upset about, and I don't think they have anything to do with each other.
Right, him not playing well and what he's up. I agree. You know, it is odd and strange that your superstar would have almost a two-week hiatus from the media. You know, he is the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly what happened behind closed doors, behind scenes. I remember this, and I'll tell you. I was working in Boston, and that was one of the things that frustrated me, is that sometimes the superstars wouldn't talk. Then LeBron and Miami would come into town, and LeBron would always meet with the media. And I'm not just talking after the game. After shoot-around, he would talk. Before the game, after, like, it was, and maybe that's just LeBron because, you know, he wants to put himself out, but he was always available. I think when you're the face of the franchise, you should be available. Because here's the thing. When you talk about superstars, which drive the league, mind you, which drive your franchise value, De'Aaron Fox is the face of the franchise. I would like to see him talk after every game,
mm-hmm.
no matter what, you know. Look at Steph Curry. He's up there and he's answering questions. De'Aaron Fox, there's a way to answer questions without answering questions. I know you don't like it. I know sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you're frustrated. I get that. I understand. But he's the face of the franchise. The great Raymond Ritter at Golden State, he used to always say, and we had a conversation about this, he said the way he would get players to talk to the media is that the more visible you are, the more money mm-hmm. it generates for the league, which in turn, the more money you generate for the players,
yourself.
For yourself. And so that was sort of his like intro to media 101 when players came to Golden State. And now you see Steph Curry, you know, face of the league. He's out there all the time. I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's tough. I get it. But I think here in Sacramento, and we were talking about this off air, our media is pretty forgiving.
Oh,
our media is like,
yes.
you know,
yeah.
we take it pretty easy
mm-hmm.
on these players. And so it's a little disappointing. I'm not sure what was going on behind the scenes. I don't know, you know, if there was some sort of hiatus or media. But I would like to see De'Aaron talk to the media because he's an engaging guy. And he's one of ours, too. Like, that's the thing. It's like I was mentioned. If De'Aaron Fox does well, we all do well. If the Kings do well, we all, like, we're pulling for these guys. It's not like we're looking to rip these guys down. It's not like we're in New York, in Boston. You know, here's the thing. When I was at Boston, I would argue it would be better when the team loses than wins for sports talk radio. So had a segment of their sports talk radio host hoping the team loses. That's not what we're about here. We're pulling for the team. We're all for these guys. And so, yeah, I'd like to see De'Aaron a lot more.
Speaking of Raymond Ritter, I think people you might get a kick out of this.
Even though,
you know, it's not too behind the curtains. But there was a game a couple years ago, the year that Warriors won the championship. And midseason, they were struggling, and they beat Houston at home. And it was like, of course they beat Houston.
Yeah.
Steph Curry was out on the floor, and he was jumping around. And a lot of people said, he's Steph Curry. Why is he so excited that they beat Houston? That's not a good look. But what happened was Steph made – a game-winning shot and ran off the floor. He ran off the floor. Raymond Ritter ran after him because he was like, you got to talk to the media.
Right.
So Steph came back out. He didn't know what to do. He had tried to run it off. And they're like, Raymond, no, you got to come back out. So that's one reason he got so excited. He's like, why am I out here? I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, and I could tell stories about interactions with players. There was a time in Phoenix, Devin Booker, for instance. I was doing sideline reporting for the Celtics, and our cameraman, we were doing a pregame interview one-on-one, me and Devin Booker with the cam, and the camera guy, his mic wasn't working or something like that. And so Devin Booker had left, and I had to go back out to Devin Booker. Hey, man, you know, the mic didn't work. Can we redo it? He's like, sure, I got time. And so, like, you know, so there are those stories as well,
right.
you know. And I feel like in this city, in this town, like I mentioned earlier, it's never athlete versus the media. It's never organization versus the media. I would argue our media, and I'm talking about the TV stations, newspaper, whatever, they're as big of fans and cheerleaders of the Sacramento Kings as those within the organization. Look at Matt George and what he does on social media all the time. Like, he's our biggest cheerleader out there, and he's not even part of the organization. So I think the media here in Sac, we're all pulling for these guys to do well.
That's why I was glad to hear, and we're going to hear from De'Aaron Fox in just a little bit here. I was glad to hear when he was asked, is there an issue between you and the media? And he said, no. And I believe him. In the way he said it, there was no hesitation. And you're right, because that's – and we've had that a time or two here in the history of the Sacramento Kings where players get a little bit upset about the way they're treated in the Sacramento media. And it's like, dude, you have nothing to complain about.
Right, this is
– not in this town.
Like, and the thing that I like about being here in Sacramento is that we have an us-against-the-world mentality, meaning it's not just the organization, it's the city – it's the media. It's the fans. We're riding or dying for if you're in SAC and if you're an athlete here, if you're an organization here, we are pulling for you because we're looking to show the world. And so I don't think there was ever a De'Aaron Fox media beef.
Yeah. And 25 years from now, you're going to be welcome back here. Even if you play half a season. Oh, you were a Sacramento King.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's why, I mean, our guy Mike Bibby, look at the love that showed his way at the game the other night. Like Matt Barnes even, you know, he's a hometown guy. People love him. And so I think I don't want to make this out into a De'Aaron Fox media beef because I don't think that's what it is.
It sounds like it's over because he did talk to the media today, had some interesting things to say about the way the team is playing and about his chance to be an Olympian, and we'll share those with you when we come right back. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
For the final time in the regular season, the Sacramento Kings and Golden State Warriors collide.
Accelerates front court, gives to Lyles on the run, into the lane, drops to Herter, to McGee. Crank it up, throw it down, big fella. JaVale McGee with a full windup and a two-hand ripperoo.
Join the G-Man for the call Thursday at 7 as the Kings and Warriors square off from San Francisco on your home of the Kings, Sactown Sports and SactownSports.com.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Kings and Warriors tomorrow. Looking forward to that one. And then the Warriors play tonight. They play Atlanta. Drapes, I'm going to be watching very closely to see how your guy, Two-Way Wiggs, does tonight.
Two-Way Wiggs?
Yeah.
Now, he's been off for a little bit. You know, might have some rust. You talk about trade deadline. His name is out there being mentioned.
Yeah. And so when he's playing well, that's with Two-Way Wiggs. Two-Way Wiggs shows
so
up.
So what if he plays tonight and then tomorrow night when the Kings face him? If Two-Way Wiggs plays well, you on board?
I'm willing to open that door potentially. Although the way HB played, you know. No, he played really well.
He did play well. He did play well. And hopefully all those HB haters are silent. I wasn't here yesterday. Hopefully you didn't get any calls about Harrison Barnes. My guy did his job. He looked great out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think, we'll talk more about it. It's funny because that day of the game, I asked you, is he getting fewer touches because he's not productive or is he not productive because he's not getting, anyway, he just from the jump, he was just so aggressive. I wonder if that was, and I didn't stay to ask Mike Brown questions. Was that part of the game plan? Were they going to get HB going early or did that just happen?
To me,
it's just going to happen.
Yeah, but it seemed like he got going and then they started looking for him. Like, you know, he was calling for it on the low block.
Yep.
And I think that's sort of what happened. I don't think it was, designed. We're going to get HB going. And Malik Monk talked about it afterwards. What got into Harrison Barnes? Well, 3 days off, you know, HB, you know, those old bones. Sometimes you need a few extra days to recover. But, man, I like the aggressiveness from Harrison Barnes. And I think he understands what this team needs is aggressive Harrison Barnes. You don't need 20 points per game, Harrison Barnes, but you got to have an impact. And I said it last week, HB has to be better. And he was better Monday. If he's playing like that, that aggressive, that adds a different dimension to this team.
Yeah, and you're right. They were looking for him. There's one play in particular. I remember he's on the block, and Domas is at the high post, and Domas has the ball, and HB's just kind of stand down there, and Domas nods to him like, yeah, come get it.
Yep. Yeah, it's for you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was great to see. It was great to see a game where It wasn't De'Aaron. It wasn't Sabonis. It was the others. And Harrison Barnes was a huge part of that. I mean, I thought Sadiq Bey was a solid defender. Harrison Barnes was taking him to school. Mm-hmm. Like
any number of ways.
Yeah, see, I said it during the broadcast.
On the syllabus.
Right, exactly. Right? He had a full schedule of Sadiq Bey. And I said it on the broadcast. It was like he hopped in the hot tub time machine. He was just moving better, moving more spry, more activity in those legs.
De'Aaron Fox has been the story this week for some reason. De'Aaron Fox met with the media today. He had some really good news that he talked about. But first things first, here's De'Aaron Fox speaking with, and I know Deuce was there, Sean Cunningham was there, Brendan was there. De'Aaron Fox talking about whatever's going on with the media and the way the team is playing of late.
De'Aaron, you've always been really good with us in the media. Was your recent like media silence frustration with the media directly?
No.
Was it? And if you don't mind me trying to pinpoint it, was there miscommunication? No, you just don't want to comment at all.
Nah.
Okay.
De'Aaron, with the trade deadline coming up, obviously it's a lot of distractions and whatnot. What are you guys as a team, doing just to block out all of that, stay focused, stay the course, and continue doing what you guys are doing on the court?
Honestly, the other day I just found out that it was 2 weeks away, so I had no idea how close it was. But you be a professional, you come in here, you do your job, you leave, and you can read all the stuff that you want. Who cares? But whenever you come in here, you worry about the guys who are in here.
I will say this. In my opinion, having seen it, it looks a lot different than it sounds. I think if I just heard that, I'd say, oh, yeah, he's mad at the media. But if you saw it, he just shakes his head like, no, it's not that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
That's my opinion. I think if I heard that, it's, something's going on. But he made it clear, if you watch it, whatever the issue is, it's not between him and the media.
Exactly. I don't think it is. But here's the problem with this situation. And it may be internal. I don't know. I have no idea. But in today's day and age, silence allows the imagination to run wild.
Exactly.
The speculation to run wild.
100% right.
And that's what's happening now, whether it's on social media, sports talk radio right here, or whatever. It's like everybody wants to know something's going on. Did something happen behind the scenes? Is he mad at the media? What's going on? And that's just the world we live in. And that happens when you don't address it and you don't talk about it. I don't necessarily blame De'Aaron for not saying it. Some things are okay to be left private, Everything doesn't have to be out in the open for all to see, but in the way that we live now, if you don't say something, if you don't address it, then speculation runs wild, and especially because everybody has an outlet now, a social media. Mm-hmm. Everybody has an opinion now. Everybody feels the need to speak on something that they don't even know about. Like, think about it like this, Whitey. If something's going on and you don't really know what it is, why would you speculate about it instead of just saying, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what's happening. It's okay to say, I don't know, and keep your opinions to yourself. And I feel like, when it comes to this situation, our guy Crown Royal, Drapes, you better not have kid gloves. I don't have no idea what's going on with De'Aaron Fox. I have no idea.
I think the speculation becomes warranted when, to the point you just made, when he doesn't tell you what's going on, It's like, what's going on? I don't really want to say. All right, well, you could clear it up, right?
What if it's personal, though?
Well,
what if it's a family matter? What if it's a situation like Andrew Wiggins last year? Are we entitled to know?
No, but if you don't want the speculation, I've got some things going on. I don't know. I don't know that that has anything to do with it, but you can address it. That's how my point is this. If somebody's not going to say what's going on, and it's clearly something that's been affecting the player and or the team for a number of weeks, the speculation is it's inevitable and it's warranted.
Is it warranted, though? That's where I think we disagree, because it doesn't affect you. It does. I'm talking about Joe Schmo on YouTube, Joe Schmo on social media. It doesn't affect you. Now, if you say, I wonder, but for instance, what happened with Andrew Wiggins last year was a shame. In terms of the speculation, some of the things being put out there in the media that we don't know if they were true or not true. Same thing. I could go back to the Ime Udoka.
Is it a shame if it was true? And I don't know.
I don't know if it was a shame. But I could go back to the Ime Udoka situation in Boston. Remember, something came out. He had some inappropriate relationship. Now everybody's speculating. Who was it? You had women within that Celtics organization being dragged through the mud because of people speculating.
True, but that's a little different than this situation. I agree with you
100%. No, but it's all about speculation. Speculation, and when you don't talk and when you don't say, it allows the mind to run crazy, one run wild. And I get it. I understand it. I necessarily don't like it. And I don't feel like it should be warranted because it has nothing to do with you.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You want to weigh in? Art joins us. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Hello, Art. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Okay, what's up, Art?
Listener.
Thank you.
First-time caller. I think what's going on with Fox is he's pissed off about his Supermax extension. Ever since the rumor came out when they played New Orleans, after that day, he's just not the same.
Well, thank you, Art. There again, that's just I don't think it's that. I don't know.
Right. I don't think it's that.
Yeah.
Because that's normal basketball stuff kind of thing. And I think we all understand the reason why he – yeah.
There's no mystery to that. The team offered him an extension. He turned it down. Well, of course he turned it down because he has a chance to qualify for a larger extension. So there's no – there's nothing behind the scenes or untoward. It makes sense for both sides.
Yeah.
There's no mystery
right.
there.
Right, right. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Again, if you're a fan, you're like, huh, maybe that's what's going on. And unless it is something that's really sensitive, okay, then I guess you don't want to share it. But this could so easily just be handled. You know, if somebody, I think, could have explained what's going on by now. That's my opinion. It's unfortunate.
But yeah. Let me ask you this, though.
Because I don't think it is something personal, but I don't really know.
But,
so I can't
but,
say.
But we don't know what it is.
True.
Say.
True.
What if it is something personal? Like, who is it on to actually tell us what's going on? De'Aaron Fox? Media? Media relations? Coach? Like, who would you want to come out and say?
Yeah. And again, I think we're on the same page. We're not kind of trying to suggest that it's something personal, right? We don't think it is. We're just
I don't know what
we're
it
talking
is.
Theoretically.
I have zero idea. Like, for me, I hear some of the same chatter everybody else's. I don't know anything. I don't know what it is.
I would think, to answer your question, the way I see it, in a perfect world, the media relations go to the guy and go, hey, you know, this is causing problems for everybody, including you. Can we just help? Is it okay with you? Because obviously they got to get his clearance. We'll tell people that it's something involved, you know, it's private and you don't want to discuss it. I don't know. I mean, at least that ends some speculation.
In the whole scheme of life, Whitey.
Question, but I don't think that applies here.
But in the whole scheme of life, let's really take a macro view of this. I'm flying over Sacramento.
You're like Chris Webber.
Am I really saying to myself, I need to know what's going on with De'Aaron Fox and the media?
Fans want to know. We all want to know.
They
want to
know
on.
Everything. Like, yes. But are they entitled to know?
No, but they're entitled to speculate and they're gonna. I mean, people are going to – that's your right. And especially with the proliferation of sports media, people are going to do – that's why I understand what you're saying. It's like, hey, if you're De'Aaron Fox or the Kings, well, it's nobody's right to know. Okay, you're right. But people are going to speculate, so why not cut that off before people can get too crazy with it? I just think it behooves you to do that if within reason you can do that.
You know, what's so interesting about this is – I didn't even know De'Aaron Fox hadn't spoken to the media.
Because they're on the road.
Because
yeah.
I'm on the road and, you know, after the games, I don't go into the locker rooms or anything. I listen to Mike Brown's post-game press conference and then I bounce out. And so the fact that this has grown into what it is, it's a little shocking to me. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm befuddled by this. Like, this is – and here we are – at leading our show with this, and I understand this is what people are talking about, so we're trying to, you know, give you, you know, what you guys are talking about here, but I don't think this is a big deal in the whole scheme of the season and the whole scheme of what this team is trying to accomplish.
My guess would be it's not a big deal. I mean, if we got to the what actually is going on, don't know for sure, but I don't think so. I also feel that this team is not good enough to have this kind of drama swirling around it, and that's why I just hope that somebody at some point soon here is able to put this to bed for everybody's sake. ASAP.
What's the drama, though? This is what I'm talking about. I don't understand. Like,
now, because we don't know. Because we don't know what's going on, and De'Aaron Fox is being kind of coy
about it. The drama, is it inside the organization? Or is it, see, because to me, just because we don't know, that doesn't mean there's drama. Like, for the organization. Now, if there's some beef in the organization or something going on with the urine, like, is this a media created drama? If I'm asking you, in terms of this, the issue is there, whatever it may be. But are we amplifying it?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Are we shedding the light and making it bigger than what it really is?
Maybe. Hard to know without knowing what it is.
Right.
Maybe. But again, that could be corrected easily. That's what's frustrating. And we're also talking about De'Aaron Fox because he addressed the fact today that he may be an Olympian. Hear what he had to say about that when we come right back. Drive Guys, Sactown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SactownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sactown Sports app.
Kyle Draper is back today. By the way, Jay is on vacation, so we got Nate running Nate things dog. For us.
Nate yeah. Dog in the back there. What's up, big dog?
Glad to be here, guys.
And he's getting warmed up for the return of the Empire. He and Emil take over at 6, so you will get
to
hang out with Emil today,
nah,
too.
I'm going to be sick that last 15, yeah. 20 minutes. I don't know if I could deal with Emil today. Like, seriously, I don't know if I could deal with that dude. I mean, I can't. You know what it is? Because he like, gets my blood pressure up. You know, I'm trying to be healthy, to eat the right things, trying to work out on the Peloton and, you know, get myself together. And then Emil comes in.
Yeah.
He just,
it's not good for your mental health and physical health.
Right, exactly.
I know you're pushing yourself always going on these trips. I mean, it's work trips, but you're constantly going.
You got to try some of that meditation.
Yeah.
So you get to the point where when he starts, you know, saying things to you, it's just like you're a rock and he's the water in a stream. Just
you do bring it on yourself a little bit, though.
Nah, you know what it is, though, and hopefully Emil's listening right now.
Emil is
like Lance Stevenson or Dylan Brooks, and I'm LeBron James. You know what I mean?
He's
trying to get under the goat skin, you know, and it's not working. It's just not working.
Wait, it's not working? It's not working.
But he's under the goat skin.
I've already given this guy too much pub. You know, he probably gained about 100 Twitter followers thanks to me. I'm done. I'm not giving him any more love.
Brian Cardicelli on the chat. It's not a concern to me what's going on with Fox at all. I just want to watch the Drive Guys from 2 to 6 Monday through Friday. What's up, players? Brian Cardicelli, who apparently is related to Frankie in some
way. Really?
But you mentioned Frankie, and Frankie's eyes get big, and he goes, I think he is, but I don't know. And Frankie gets a little freaked out. He feels like he has a family stalker.
Really? Brian, are you related to Frankie?
Brian says cousin, because I've asked before.
Have
cousin,
you really?
Yes, yeah. So
bless
I think
you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I think Brian can just say brother or dad or anything at this point. We'll believe
it. Right, right. Yeah. You're right.
Frankie's hiding something.
All I know is Brian says, Kyle, you're the picture of health, my friend. Happy, smart, got a good job, get to travel. Good dad, love it, man. He might be a part of the Draper family, too, by the time this is over.
Might be. He's also very good at getting his comments read by just, you guys are the greatest.
I know, right? Sure way to get your comment read right
you
there.
You guys are the greatest ever. Yeah. Well, awesome. Speaking of De'Aaron Fox, he spoke with the media today. And I guess this was the real reason he spoke to the media, right? He's been named one of the finalists to make the Summer Olympic basketball team. He's one of 41 finalists, so... Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. It's just still a far cry from the final roster. But here's De'Aaron Fox on what that means to him.
I mean, it's an honor to be able to represent my country. I mean, I talked to Grant a little bit, so I was already in the loop, and obviously I want to continue to focus on what we're doing right now. But it's definitely an honor to be able to be mentioned with a lot of those players who have already won gold medals.
Being a part of that before, does this feel like it might come at a better time in your career?
Definitely. And obviously, FIBA is a bit different for the U.S. than it is, you know, viewed around the world. But just being able to be in that contention, to be in the Olympics, which is something that obviously America takes a lot more seriously than other things, is definitely an honor for sure.
Obviously, the NBA is a goal growing up, but do you kind of think about the Olympic team and playing on that level as a kid too?
Yeah, definitely. For us, you know, people my age, being able to watch the Redeem team definitely definitely puts memories in your head. And for me, obviously, the way that like someone like Melo played in the Olympics and what he did, I think are lasting memories. So being able to be in that position is definitely an honor and a blessing.
By the way, that's another way we know. It's another tell that whatever this thing has been,
yeah.
It's not De'Aaron and a member of the media. Yesterday, while you were watching your son play, Mark Kreidler was in. Mark Kreidler's been in the sports media forever.
Yeah.
He's a former beat writer. And he said when that would happen, because he's been there, he said a player will sit down and the media will be there and the player will say, I will not talk until he's gone. That's what they did. And there's nothing like
that,
right?
Yeah.
There's nothing like that going on now. He's obviously very comfortable with the media. So that's not the issue. Of course, though, we're talking right now about the fact that he could be, a Sacramento King could be an Olympian this summer.
That would be huge. And you know, we've talked about De'Aaron Fox, the superstar, and what he needs to do to be get in that conversation. And I think when you look at a guy like, let's say, Anthony Edwards, what the FIBA World Cup did for him, and just his marketing, his brand, his profile, I think the same could be said for De'Aaron Fox. And look at the moves that De'Aaron Fox has made over the last 6 months to a year. First of all, offseason, working out with Steph Curry. Second of all, signing with Steph Curry brand, Under Armour. You know, Rich Paul as your agent
profile
as well.
Right. Expanding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, we've heard De'Aaron talk about, you know, playing on an international team and saying, really, you know, it's not a goal of his, let's say. You know, with the FIBA World Cup, he was asked about that. But now he's talking about what an honor it would be to be on the Olympics, how blessed he would feel. And so I think this is De'Aaron understanding, hey, you want to be one of the faces of the entire league. There are certain things you got to do. Mm-hmm. And you look at a guy, and he mentioned this during his interview today, Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony has not won anything in the NBA championship-wise, but he's arguably the greatest Olympian basketball player in U.S. history. And so that's, you know, when it's all said and done, you talk about Carmelo Anthony, we'll talk about the scorer in the NBA, but we'll also talk about his service to the country by playing in the Olympics and how great he was. I think De'Aaron Fox is seeing that as well. And you know what? You get an Olympic gold medal, that adds to your profile as well. And so it's good to see. It's good to hear.
Just hearing him talk, it's a reminder of how long it's been now since NBA players have been in the Olympics, because De'Aaron talks about when he was a kid and it was the Redeem Team that, you know, he kind of grew up on, which is a reminder that the Dream Team, that was a long time ago.
He wasn't even
there. Wow.
Yeah, I heard that and I was like, where's he going to go? Is he going to go to 96 Olympic? He went with Redeem Team, LeBron and Kobe and those guys. And so, no, that a reminder of how young he is. And like you said, a reminder of how long NBA players have been out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be an honor, obviously, for De'Aaron, but for Sacramento to have an Olympian.
No question.
You know, especially a homegrown guy, a guy we drafted, developed, nurtured as a fan base, as an organization, representing the Sacramento Kings, I think it would be tremendous.
Now, what about De'Aaron Fox, the basketball player? Where are we with that? You have any idea? What's wrong? Why does he not look like the same player?
You know, he talked about, you know, some of his struggles this season, especially as of, I just think he's gassed. I think, you know, he's gassed. And we've seen this from De'Aaron Fox multiple occasions over the last few years. How many times have we said, what's wrong with De'Aaron? At least once a year we say that. And I think we're in that right now. I think this little break that they're on, you know, what is it? One game in a week, basically. You had the Thursday game, then you're off and you're back in at Monday, and now you're off again until Thursday. I think this is a good chance for him to rest. And I expect a big De'Aaron Fox tomorrow. It's a huge game tomorrow.
It is.
Steph Curry and the Warriors, national TV. These are the kind of games De'Aaron Fox shows out for, and I'm expecting him to be back to form tomorrow.
And the Warriors are still trying to prove that they have something to play for this year. They're still trying to prove that, nope, we're still in this thing. By the way, once the Kings start playing again tomorrow, between tomorrow and the All-Star break, they play Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of games in a relatively condensed period.
This is a brutal stretch of the schedule coming up, you know, and I was looking at it and I'm thinking, man, when are we going to have some off days? We get an off day in Miami. So your boy is happy about that. I might be sick that day for radio. I'm just telling you right now, your boy might not make that show. But no.
There are no two in a row days off.
Two in a row, exactly.
None.
And, you know, you got two back-to-backs, if I'm correct, during this stretch. Two. And you got some tough teams and some cold weather teams, too. Like, imagine having to go to Indiana and arriving at 1 or 2 in it. Chicago arriving 2 in it. You know, it's going to be a tough stretch. That's why I thought that game against Atlanta was so important. Now you got this 7-game road trip. If you can go 5-2,
ooh,
4-3,
great.
Like I think that's a very good road trip. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Meanwhile, the Blazers have filed a protest, but how often do those actually succeed? We'll tell you all about it when we come right back. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.
It took all 60 minutes, but the 49ers found a way to dispose of Green Bay.
1:30 and rolling to play in the game. Purdy takes it, hands off to McCaffrey off the left side, breaks a tackle, touchdown!
Next up in their quest for another Super Bowl title is a major roadblock with the Lions. San Francisco hosts Detroit Sunday at 3:30 in the NFC title game.
You can hear all the action right here on Sacktown Sports and SacktownSports.com. The Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Before we get to what went down in Portland last night, I got to see Kyle and you, dear listener, I got to see what you think of this trade rumor. We'll talk more about trade rumors coming up.
Yes.
But here's a guy that, to me, it's like, wow, this guy would be a great fit for the Kings, and I don't think he would cost that much. What's your opinion, though, of Bruce Brown? You like Bruce Brown?
I like Bruce Brown. Hard-nosed, tough defender, can knock down a three, champion. Yeah. What would it cost, you think? What's the word on
it? The Raptors have posted an initial price point of first-round selection for Bruce Brown.
One first-rounder?
Mm-hmm. Now, his contract is...
Yeah, they just gave him that contract. Yeah.
2-year, $45 million balloon payment with a team option for next season. So a lot
team option?
Yes!
What?
So I think that means you got to pay him everything up front, right? But then next year you can get off the deal if you want.
Right, right.
But to me, I see that and I go, well, I'd be very interested in that. Wouldn't you?
Yes. So
from the Kings standpoint, of course.
So he's under contract the rest of this season. And then next season is a team option.
So what this says, yes, yes. But my understanding, the way I read this, $45 million balloon payment. So I think that means you got to pay him up front, but then next year – you don't have to keep him, but you have to pay him.
You got
to
pay him. No, yeah. I think he's fantastic. I don't know why it didn't work out in Indiana. Why is Toronto now looking to move? Maybe they're just trying to stockpile some picks or something like that. But, you know, here's a guy, you know, helped Denver lead, you know, to a championship, started 31 games.
I don't think they would have won last year without him.
Yeah, I thought he was a good energizer guy, too. Came off the bench, a trusted guy, a veteran. I think he would fit in. You know, we talked about, you know, the Kings and their depth and especially at the guard position when Mike Brown has only used three guards, you know, for a stretch there. Like this guy, Bruce Brown, a two-way player. So I would kick the tires on him, yeah.
This report, which I think comes from Yahoo, says Brown is considered a lower market player than his salary. For that, he appears to be a much stronger possibility for Milwaukee than DeJounte Murray. But I mean, if I'm the Kings, I look, the first thing I say is, wow, that guy helps me in a lot of ways. I need help right now.
You know, can I say something real quick? Can I?
Yes.
We got the trade deadline 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tomorrow. I'm tired of hearing every single player being attached to the Lakers, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Heat, like, let some other teams get in the mix, get into play for these guys. Those aren't the only teams. It seems like every time a player is available, the Lakers are interested. The Bucks are interested. Like, I don't know. It just frustrates me, man. I think, I don't want to say the league has a problem, but the league has a problem with marquee franchises. Like, the stars seem to get, like, how did Drew Holiday get to Boston? Like, the rich always seem to get richer. And meanwhile, you got teams like Charlotte giving away Terry Rozier, their best player this season, to help a Miami Heat. When's somebody going to help us out?
Well,
we need a guy.
No, I'm with you. You know, part of it is just it's the same reason the Lakers are on TV all the time. For a lot of fans, it's like Lakers. All I care about is the Lakers. So that's why you hear the rumors involving the Lakers. That's why they're always on TV. By the way, how about this? You mentioned Charlotte. According to the report, they traded Terry Rozier. They're looking to trade some of their veterans for future assets. P.J. Washington's got to be on the Kings list somewhere, right?
And he's gotta be on there somewhere. I think he would be of low value, right? You talk about a first round for Brown. P.J., I think, would be in that same category.
Yeah, maybe a couple twos.
Yeah, a couple twos. I don't, you know, here we are 2 weeks away. Monty got to do something, right? You got to do something. With all these options available, that's the thing about it. It's not like it's just one player that's available. Like, there are a lot of players, I think, that could help this Sacramento Kings team. And we're at the point now as a franchise, our first-round picks, we don't have to hoard them anymore. We don't have to – they're not lottery picks anymore. So it's not like you're going to draft, you know, the next, you know, Will Chamberlain or LeBron James or Victor Wembanyama.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think we're at a point, because you have your core, now you use those picks to add to it, sort of like Denver did in their moves that they made. You know, they gave up, Mo Bamba and, you know, Bobo. You know, like, I understand that. But for us, we need our Aaron Gordon. We need our Bruce Brown to come in. Mm-hmm. Our Jeremy Grant. Somebody. There's so many options out there for us right now.
Yep. I just have a feeling Santa's coming this year. We're going to get something. Something's happening.
Christmas in February?
Yes.
Ooh, I like that.
I have that feeling. If Santa doesn't come, that's going to be disappointing. But we'll see. We'll cross that Tower Bridge if we have to. Did you hear the Laker plan? It was reported yesterday, McMenamin. Reported, we kicked around a little bit. You obviously were not here, but the Lakers are thinking of trading a lot of some current players and some draft picks, and they want to get either Trae Young or Donovan Mitchell.
No way. Somebody, McMenamin?
That was Dave McMenamin said this is
respected the reporter.
Yes,
Dave's
this is the Laker plan. I laugh. I think
Adam Silver
Trae
would
Young,
have to step in.
Really?
I think so. This reminds me of the Chris Paul situation. Why are the Lakers, like, and you could have your opinion about Trae Young. A lot of people are out on Trae Young. But Donovan Mitchell? Like, why are the Lakers always in the mix for stars? This looks like Anthony Davis 2.0 all over again,
You
know?
I think, though, I agree with you. But on the other hand, from the league standpoint, hey, it's not a problem for us if the Lakers are relevant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you.
Right.
We're trying to see it the way they see it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I hear you, and it's good for the league if the Lakers are.
In a way, it is. Yeah.
It just is. You know, here's the thing about the Lakers, and you could put maybe Boston, maybe Golden State in that category, and that might be it.
Yeah.
People either love them or they love to hate them. Like, they elicit a reaction no matter what.
They care.
Yeah, they care. Exactly. They care whether they're good. And they care whether they're bad. And it's interesting because you bring that up. I was watching ESPN, and this is my morning routine. I get up, got my coffee, I throw on some ESPN. It's on in the background. And I can't tell you how many ways they find a way to get the Lakers in their show.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's ESPN or NBA Today, like, there's always, after every Lakers game, have they turned a corner? Or what kind of moves can they make to make them relevant? Yeah. Like, it's just every single day. It's ridiculous, man.
Dreitz, we need you to hear this protest, all right, on behalf of the
league. Let me hear this.
Portland Trailblazers filing a protest with the NBA to challenge the result of their loss to OKC last night. 111-109 was the final. And the Blazers say that Chauncey Billups, he's got a 109-108 lead. And you got Malcolm Brogdon has the ball, 15.1 seconds left. And he, it doesn't say here, I'm guessing he was getting trapped. Chauncey Billups is trying to call timeout. And the officials don't hear him. And with 15.1 left, Malcolm Brogdon is called for a double dribble.
Yep.
So Chauncey gets very angry. He's assessed two technical fouls, including a second after marching onto the floor to argue. He's ejected. He says, we've got timeouts. Referees are prepared for that. Bill Kennedy, pool reporter, says the referee was focused on the play and he couldn't hear Chauncey Billups. So what's the chances of Portland winning this protest?
Zero.
I agree.
Zero, zilch, nada. It's not going to happen. I get Chauncey's frustration because he's clearly calling a timeout.
I'm at half court trying to call a timeout.
What's the official supposed to do, though? Like, you can't do it off of hearing it. Because you don't know where it's coming from, right? You don't know. and the play was right in front of him. You turn your head to look at Chauncey, you're taking your eye off the play.
Yes.
It's one of those bang, bang things. Now, should another official have seen the timeout? You could have that discussion, but these protests rarely go anywhere.
Or another player on the Blazers. Hey, timeout.
Right, our coach is calling timeout. Our guy's trapped here. Let me call a timeout. Yeah, it's going nowhere.
The NBA has not often upheld protests. Let's see, only six times. The last time the NBA upheld a protest.
Dallas was involved, right?
No.
There was one where they replayed it or something like that. It was crazy.
This was Shaq with the Heat.
Yes, I remember
2007.
That.
He was ruled to have six fouls when he only had five.
Yeah.
And so the game was resumed. It was played in December of 07. They resumed it in March of 08.
Yeah.
Neither team scored in the 51.9 seconds of replay. And O'Neal,
I remember that
Shaq
one.
Had already been traded to the Suns when they resumed
So. What good was that then, right? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's
good luck, Chauncey. You're going to need it.
Yeah. And it was, let's keep it real, it helped them out to lose the game.
Oh,
better
yeah.
traffic. Like, Chauncey, it's okay, man.
Uh-huh.
It's all right.
Coming up, a conversation, 49er conversation, I did not expect to be having. Is Shanahan's play calling hurting the 49ers? Why people are actually talking about
let's
that.
Let's get to that.
Next year, the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.